Well, today I want to talk to you about the resurrection appearances of Christ. You know, there are quite a few stories in the Bible. Even after the ascension of Christ into heaven, you have the story of Christ appearing to St. Paul. And of course, he was on his way to persecute Christians on the road to Damascus, Syria. And on that road, he was suddenly confronted with the Lord and a bright light and a voice from heaven. Knocked him off his high horse. And who is it, Lord? Said Paul. Who is it, Lord? It is I, Jesus, who you persecute. And so it is that the risen Christ not only has appeared many, many times in the Bible to the disciples, he also has appeared many, many times to Christians or non-Christians even throughout the ages. He is the risen Lord. And the reason I'm telling this today is because he actually appeared to me one time here in Campbell River. I'll tell you about that at the end. So here we see some of the verses in the Bible. For example, Luke 24, or Mark 16, we're trying to put it in sequence. He appeared to the 11 as they sat at table, rebuked them for their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. Look at that. Well, the stories of Mary and the women. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 gives us a summary of resurrection appearances. He says, I deliver to you that which I've also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, was buried, and rose again on the third day, according to the Scriptures. He was seen by Peter, then by the 12, and after that by over 500 brethren at one time. And the greater part of them remain alive to this present day. After that he was seen by James, and that would be the Lord's brother, and then by all the apostles. And of course that would include Thomas, who hadn't seen him and said, unless I can touch the nail prints in his hands and put my finger into the hole from the spear in his side, I won't believe. Now the accounts of the resurrection begin with the women, of course, very early Sunday morning, and we can take that as it's still dark, Bible says. And we get different accounts, but somehow it looks like the women went and Mary Magdalene was separated off from the other women after the initial women found the stone rolled away and entered the tomb. And there they saw two angels, as recorded in Luke. Matthew and Mark mentions just one of them. Same stories, though. Angel tells the women, go and tell his disciples and tell Peter. Why? Well, Peter had denied the Lord, so I guess he was not feeling too good about anything. And they took off running to find the disciples. Matthew 28. But just for those that may think, you know, this is all just made up or whatever, disciples couldn't believe it. They ran quickly from the tomb for fear and great joy to tell the disciples, but Jesus met them, said, Hail! And they came up, took hold of his feet, and worshipped him. Jesus said, "Don't be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and they will see me there." Wow. You just get all these stories, all these amazing stories. But you know, that's not even it. It's not even the end. The 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus directed them, and when they saw him, they worshipped him. Some doubted, and Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and earth is given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe all that I have commanded you. Lo, I am with you even to the end of the age." That's how Matthew ends out his gospel. Now, what's quite amazing is that the disciples, when they'd heard this originally, couldn't believe it, you know. They could not believe what they were hearing was true. One time, two of them were walking back into the country, and he appears to them, and he's walking along with them, and it says their hearts burned. Now, the Gospel of Luke is interesting because Luke says he was putting together an orderly account of all the different stories, gathering these stories from eyewitnesses. And that's where he talks about these two were drawing near, they're walking along, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, talking with each other, going towards a village called Emmaus. While they're talking, Jesus drew near himself, but their eyes are kept from recognizing him. That's an interesting statement. Could we, at some point, have walked along with Jesus, but our eyes been prevented from recognizing him? You know, the Lord himself said about helping the broken and the poor and the needy and other ones. He said, "Inasmuch as you've done it to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me." It may be that Christ comes to us somehow in a form of a person that we don't know it's him, but he's there. But anyway, they walked along for some time, and they're having conversation about all the things that happened in Jerusalem and what happened to Jesus. And he says, "Haven't you heard of these things that happened these days?" Jesus said, "What things?" They said, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a mighty prophet in deed and word. Now our chief priests and rulers delivered him to be condemned to death, and he was crucified. We'd hoped he was the one to redeem Israel, and besides all this, now it's the third day." So this is on Sunday, they're walking. And they said, "Moreover, some women in our company amazed us. They came to the tomb early this morning, did not find his body, and came back saying they'd seen angels that told them he was alive, and some of them who were with us went to the tomb and found it was as the woman said, but they didn't see Jesus." And he said to them, "Oh, you foolish men, slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that Christ should suffer all these things and enter into his glory?" And starting with Moses, he started to interpret the scriptures about himself. And they still didn't recognize him. Boy, they must have been listening intently. As they drew near the village to which they were going, he appeared to be going on, but they constrained him to stay with us. It's evening. The day is far spent, so he went in with them to stay. And while they were together at the table, they took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened. They recognized it was Jesus, and he vanished out of their sight. They said to each other, "Didn't our hearts burn within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures?" And they rose that same hour and went back to Jerusalem. Why? To tell the others. Now here's the amazing thing. I just got, you know, just means so much to me as I read this. How long were they walking and talking with Jesus? It's 7 miles. They could have been walking along and talking with him for, what, an hour? Then they get to Emmaus. They go in the house, prepare something to eat. What's that, another 20 minutes or something? Sit down and begin to eat, and then Jesus breaks bread, and they recognize him, and he vanishes. Whoa! He's there, in the middle of our daily routines. He's there, in their conversation. He's conversing with them, but unknown to them. And this brings me to my point. On Easter Sunday morning here at the Vineyard, as we were worshiping, I began to think about these amazing appearances of Jesus and thinking, oh my, I wonder what happened after he ascended to heaven, you know, the appearances of Christ. Paul the Apostle says he saw him late. That was after he'd risen and gone to heaven and others. And then suddenly I remembered my own experience of seeing Christ. And you know, at church there Sunday morning, I just began to weep, shake a little bit, in fact. And here's how it took place. First year or so that I was here in Campbell River around 1990, we were gathering together for an inter-church service. The evangelical churches of the city were coming together for a church service, and I was the preacher. And as I came up to preach after a tremendous time of worship and praise, the Lord gave me prophetic words to begin to speak to the congregation. I began to prophesy, and I was speaking of the things that God wanted to do in his heart. And I looked up, and we were at Christian Life Fellowship, and right at the back, if you've been in the building, you know where I'm talking about, right in front of the soundboard, I looked up, and with my eyes, I don't mean a vision that's, you know, mind's eye vision, you know, see-through vision or spiritual vision. I mean, with my eyes, I saw Christ standing there. And he was facing towards me and the church, the people behind everybody, but I was facing him. And what did he look like? He looked like probably a bit shorter than me. He was glorious. It was radiant and white, but still I could see his body dressed and looked like white linen. And the glory was so intense that all the strength drained out of me. I think I slumped forward onto the pulpit. People in the congregation told me afterwards I turned white as a sheet. And if the pulpit hadn't have been there, I probably would have gone right forward off the platform. And all I could say was, Jesus is here. And after a few moments, I was watching him. He turned towards the entrance door, or like going left from my point of view, walked 3 or 4 steps, and then vanished. No one else saw him but me. That experience did something to me. I mean, it's like it went through my whole being. And even today, the memory of it goes through my whole being. I couldn't go on worshiping on Sunday morning as I recalled it felt the presence of God, but I was weeping and weeping, very nearly sobbing, just remembering Jesus, reality of that encounter, resurrection encounter. But here's why I'm telling you all of this today. The Lord then said to me, he says, I'm walking amongst my churches again in Campbell River. See, that's what he was doing at that interchurch meeting. There were five congregations there. He came in, began to survey the situation. He was looking and walking amongst his churches, like in Revelation, the candlesticks. And he says, I'm walking amongst my church again. Now, there was something happened with that meeting where it was like the church was not ready. It's not like the only way I can describe it. There became a division. There wasn't one against the other or something in the meeting, but something happened that time, 1990, where about half the congregation or two-thirds of the congregation began to harden themselves. It's weird. And the other third or so became extremely hungry and rushed to the front for God. Now, I bring all of this up to say he's walking amongst his churches again. He's looking for hunger. He's looking for unity. He's looking for openness for him to flow through people. He must not find us resistant to him, but so embracing of him and loving of him and desiring of him and hungry for him. Oh God, move in our city, move in our church, move in my life, my home, move. You have it all. I am yours. We must be 100% this time. That's all I can say. The moments of grace are here now. His grace is here now. He is walking amongst the church now. Be one that embraces the moment, embraces Jesus with all your heart. Amen. And you say, Lord, here I am. I'm yours. I yield to you. Cleanse me, fill me, use me. Hallelujah.